stuff, so.
Y'all are doing a good job here, so find somewhere to put that. So, open your Bible to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look at a couple of things here, and as we look at them together, we're going to see two things. What you'll see there is the church member that doesn't complain, but as we go through Philippians verse by verse, and the idea or the theme behind it is joy and suffering, we are going to see, you ever been around anybody that all they do is complain? That's suffering. Different level. So, especially if you're married to them. So, we'll leave it at that. But the idea is not just that. We're going to look in Philippians 2, verses 12 through 18. But what we're going to see, not only is the church member that does not complain, but we are going to see today, we're going to focus on the church member, the job description of a church member. And next week, if God allows us to get that far, we will look at the job description of a deacon and the job description of a pastor. But today, in Philippians chapter 2, as we look at verses 12 through 18, if those of you can, will stand with me for the reading of God's Word, and we will read and get going here. Now, in the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12, "Therefore, my dearly beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me." Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for our time together. We pray that you would open our eyes, open our minds, and help us to receive what you want us to receive. Pray that you'd help me to get out of your way and bring us your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. As we look at this together, a lot of times, for instance, the last time that we preached about every knee would bow and every tongue would confess, that was more of an evangelistic sermon. It's to encourage us who are believers and who are church members, but this one really is about church members today. So whether you're a member of this church, whether you're a regular attender, whether you have been a member of another church somewhere else, this is kind of a description of how that we should act and behave. And I'll remind you that the Apostle Paul is writing this letter from prison to the church at Philippi about 11 years after this church was founded. So he's writing back to them a thank you letter, and we saw that, Philippians 1:3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you," that he is writing with them, he's giving them words of instruction, he's giving them words of hope as well, he's calling them out on a few things, but he's also laying out some examples, and this is the example of what Paul said a church member should act like and what we should be. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're not a church member yet. You could be an attender. So I will just say this to prelude to what the rest of what I'm going to say. If you're here today and you don't know that you're a Christian, the greatest thing that you can do today is to give your life to Christ. And we'll have an invitation in a few moments, and you can give your life to Jesus. But you can even do that now. You don't even have to wait. So Jesus is working and the Holy Spirit is working in you. Call on Jesus and be saved, because that's the greatest thing that you can ever have. Now, let's look at the rest of us who are messed up. We're not perfect. You know, we all have our issues. You know, we can think about it. All of our families have issues and we are all broken. But if you are in Christ, you may be broken, but you are blessed, even if it doesn't feel like it. Even if it doesn't seem like you are, because we recognize that as a church member, to be a member of the church, the first qualification to be a member of the church is what? To be a Christian. So to be saved. So that is very important that you recognize, and that is meaning that we are positioned in Christ, that nothing can take that away from us. So in our position, we become members of a church, and it's very important that we become a part of a local body, because you can watch all the TV preachers, you can follow all the ones on YouTube and all of that, but when you go through a struggle or an issue, they're not going to come alongside of you, but your brothers and sisters that are here today are the ones that we're going to encourage one another. We're going to lift each other up. So that is why that is very important. Now, just as we look at this, the church member that doesn't complain, or the job description of a church member, one of the things that I believe is very necessary that Paul talks about it, he says, you have always obeyed as in my presence, but now much more in my absence. What he's literally talking about there is being loyal. But I don't think he means so much as loyal to him as he means loyal to Jesus Christ. You know, we all find ourselves, and many of you work in situations or go to school or live in a situation where that it becomes tedious or maybe dangerous for you to share the fact that you are a Christian. So, and in that situation, that we remain our loyalty to Christ no matter what happens, that it might be in a situation that may cost you. But there that Paul is saying to them, you know what? I remember your obedience. I remember your loyalty. So the first quality for a church member that does not complain, or for the job description of a church member, is someone who is loyal. I've been in ministry many, many years, and I've watched people through the years. Doesn't see it as much anymore as we used to, but I'm sure it does happen that people will be in a church, and everything is great and fine, but all of a sudden something happens, and I don't like what that preacher said, or I don't like what the way that she commented on this, or I don't like the way that he did this, and all of a sudden we become consumers instead of members. Because we start looking and thinking, oh, you know, I used to love this church, but now I'm not so pleased with it, so I'm going to go find me another church. And we see that, and people do. And not only that, but people will leave as I got my feelings hurt instead of dealing with it and understanding that that's the friction that causes the sandpaper for us to rub off all the rough edges on each other, the rough edges that we understand what the Bible said in Proverbs, that iron sharpens iron. Instead of going through that and getting together with each other and meeting with each other, we become social media, you know, exemplified. What we do on social media. On social media, if somebody does something we don't like, or if somebody says something in the church that we don't like, instead of going to them and confronting them, then all of a sudden we jump on social media and start talking about how bad that church is, how bad those people are, forgetting that they were the ones that were there when your child was born, when you went through a divorce, when you retired or had to retire before that you needed to, and understanding all of that. But we are a social media-driven society that is real easy to sit at home and just throw darts. Doesn't work that way. We have to join one another. And Paul is like, you guys are loyal. And he's reaching back out to that. And I remind you again that throughout this letter that Paul brags on the church at Philippi over and over and over again. He brags about them in other situations and in other churches. Recently, I was in a Bible study with a group of men, and there was a man in that group that just really blew my mind. I'm thinking, wow, I wish everybody could do that. He said, y'all know that I've started a Bible study at the factory where I work, and there's 50 men that are gathering in this, and one of them actually got saved. He was so fired up about it. He was bragging on his church, and I thought, man, why don't we not do that? Why do we not brag? And as a matter of fact, there's a book that was started, and this same man closed the prayer, and he closed by saying, Lord, I'm so excited about this book and about my church. I can't wait to get into that. Well, you say, well, I'm not excited about my church. Well, God hasn't changed. Our churches are fallible. Let me give you that. We make mistakes, okay? Our churches mess up. We do. You know, over and over we do that, but a part of humanity is understanding that when we mess up, we get together and we work things out. And that is very, very important. You know, what would it be like? Oh, boy, I'm reverting back into my old days to an old thought that came to my mind as I was driving over here this morning that doesn't happen anymore. But years ago, especially in country churches, some family would take the pastor and his family to lunch that day, or usually take them to their home. And there was a family that had a little boy, and the pastor is sitting in the living room as they go to this church member's home. They're getting everything prepared, and he's having small talk with the little boy, and the little boy's talking, and he says, "You know what we're having for lunch today?" And he said, "I think we're having goat." He's like, "Goat? That's kind of odd." And he said, "Well, all I know is my parents said, let's have the old goat over so we can have dinner with him today." Told you I had to go way back for that one, but it crossed my mind that how many times do we leave church and we beat each other up that we should be encouraging each other. We should be lifting each other up. Now, loyal is very, very important. Now, I want to go on and we'll see this and we'll come back to a couple of things with that. But in verse 13 is a Bible verse that I would highly encourage you to memorize. And I have actually preached this here when I've preached through the letter to Philippi with an outline of a verse from each chapter. The first chapter is being confident of this very thing in chapter 1 and verse 6, that he who began a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ, which means that when God started something in you individually, when he started something in your family, when he started something in your church, Robertsville Baptist Church, when he started it, he's going to finish it. But Philippians 2:13 says, because he's the one who started it, he's going to be the one who works it all out. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That mean we work for our salvation? Absolutely not. I've already shared with you that if you are a Christian, it came by grace. It is a free gift that you were given. You did not earn that, and you were positioned in Christ because God saw the need and gave us the gift of salvation, but we're not supposed to take that gift and just sit down on it. You know, I've seen so many people through the years, and I call it fire insurance. I got my fire insurance. And I'll say it like this, you know, how active is God in your life? And that's the second thing I want you to see. One of the qualities of a church member that does not complain is loyalty. The second quality that I want you to see in verse 13 is a church member that is activated. What I mean by that, when he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And by the way, I memorized that in King James, so that's what you just got, all right? But I did not, you know, I had a Sunday school lesson recently in Samson, and I won't use the King James there because he said, if you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have known. So don't use that, all right? But this idea here that we see what God is doing, that God is working, that our faith is activated, it means that you and I, it's up to us to do something with our salvation. God gave it to you free, and he's given you an opportunity to do something with the relationship with the one who spoke the world into existence. But if we just sit on that, that's like somebody giving you a cure to cancer, and you're saying, okay, I got it. You know, I'm good. If I ever get cancer, I'm good. I know what to do, and I'm safe. I'm fine. I'm good. But you don't share it with anybody else. That's what so many people do. I got saved. I'm good. Got baptized. I'm good. When I die, I'm going to heaven. That is not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about service, about an active faith, about our faith being activated, about our relationship with Jesus Christ being activated, that no matter what we do or where we go, that Jesus is going to be a part of that. It's not our lives compartmentalized where we look at it and say, oh, I got to act like this because I'm with my church folks on Sunday. Then on Monday, I got to act different because I'm with the folks at the plant. Then on Friday, I got to act different because I'm with my boys and we're out having a good time. No, it's the same, that it's activated, that it's an activated faith. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Afraid of what? Afraid God's going to zap you because you're not doing it? No, because you're already positioned in Christ. We have eternal security that when you are saved, you are born again. Nobody can do anything about that. You can't. The devil can't, and nobody else can. But what he's writing about here is a relationship. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, not because you're afraid of what God's going to do to you, but because you're afraid of what your life is going to do to God and your testimony. It's a big deal right there. And that's why he goes into the next one. We look at it, activated, and then if you look at verse 14, he said, do all things without complaining and disputing. By the way, I've memorized so many verses in Philippians, and I've named a bunch of them, and I named 2:13, and a man in the last few years said, well, you better memorize 2:14 as well. And I'm thinking, yep, you are absolutely right. It would do every one of us good to memorize that verse right there. Do all things without complaining. Do you do that? Oh, boy. I don't. You know, I'm getting old. And by the way, I've shared this with you all. Getting old, you know, I thought that was something that only grumpy old people, but man, things hurt. You're tired. You don't sleep well. So it's very easy to sit around and complain about everything. But the Bible says, whatever you do, do it without complaining. That's a church member that does not complain. That is a quality of a good church member. Does that mean, I don't know that it's possible. Now, I've met some people that I've never, ever heard them complain about anything, and I'm sad to say I'm not one of them. All right? Just being honest with you. But those people are so much more fun to be around, aren't they? I mean, honestly, if you know somebody that is an encourager, who do you want to spend time with? Do you want to spend time with people who lift you up? And I've had two deacons in churches that I pastored when I was younger, two separate churches. One of those deacons, never had anybody ever do this. Every single service, when we would leave, he'd say, brother, I love you, and I want you to know I love you so much, and I am so thankful for you. And I'm like, wow. You know, I didn't grow up with that. Many of you understand that. But he was one of the godliest men I ever met. Both these men are gone to glory now. The second one was actually a worship leader who was also a deacon in a small church. And he would do the same thing. But both of these men, not just me, but everybody, they encouraged them. Oh, what a gift that is. And if we want to do what we should do, then we should encourage one another. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another or encourage one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I may have shared this here before, and if I have, forgive me, but I'm going to share it again because it fits here. We were replanting a church several years ago, and in a replant, the replant is a lot of new people, but some old people that have been there forever, and one of them was a lady that was probably 80 years old. She would walk into the church service. She would stop at the sound room and complain about how loud the sound was last week. And then she would catch the deacon or whoever was at the back and talk about how that they always had the thermostat wrong. She would bring a pillow and she would sit down in a pew right back in that area and she would sit there. And back then, if you remember, y'all probably did it here too, but if people visited, you would, everybody stand up and everybody fellowship. You'd have a time where everybody went around and shook each other's hands. This lady, when somebody came to shake her hand, this was way before the pandemic. When somebody had come to shake her hand, they'd stick their hand out. She'd like, nope, nope, germs. I'm not shaking your hand. And not only that, but if a visitor sat near her, she would turn around and tell the people that were visiting, we don't like this. You know, we don't like the preaching. We don't like the music. We don't like how they keep the sound too loud. We don't like it too hot. It's too cold. It's too hot. You're going to win a lot of church members. You're going to get a lot of people to join your church that way, aren't you? We prayed about it. You know, she was old. She had been a part of that. It's kind of a legacy. And we really just, we didn't want to do anything. You know, honestly, you could have probably done church discipline with some of the stuff she was, but a lot of mercy, a lot of grace. So we just didn't do anything. But we had a church play or something, and we had roped off two or three of the front pews of the church for something we did. And I'm coming back, and I'm praying about this lady sitting there, and I knew we had a bunch of visitors are coming. I'm asking God, Lord, what can I do? And I had a thought. Rope her in. Well, laugh when I tell you what I did. I took the rope that we had, and I took it back to the back where her pew was, and I roped off the pew behind her, the pew in front of her, and everything around her, and I thought, I'm going to get fired. But I thought, I don't care. I'm getting tired of this, and, you know, it comes out, come up on Sunday morning, she walked in, never said a word, sat down, and was happy. So we kept the ropes the rest of the time, and nobody ever sat down next to her. Every pastor I have ever shared that story with has said, you got any of that rope left over? Because there's always somebody in a church just like that. Maybe not that bad. And sometimes it's us. But one of the things that we have to do is we have to go out with positivity, encouraging one another, doing everything without complaining. And then we pick up verse 15 and 16. And I find this really interesting as I thought about this, because here he goes on after he said, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. I'm going to tell you, I've been in the ministry 45 years. In 1981, when God called me in the ministry, I thought we lived in the most wicked world that ever could be lived in. Matter of fact, I had many old preachers that told me, son, you're going to have it worse than we did because we've had it good. And I thought, yeah, I don't know. Compare 1981 to 2026. Which is worse? It has gotten worse and worse and worse. And here's the key. The Bible says it's going to get worse. In Timothy, Paul was writing, he said, in the last days, iniquity will abound. The love of many will grow cold. It's going to get worse, and perilous times will come. All of this, so what are we going to do? We as the church, if we're being good church members, when we go out in the evil, messed up world, the light of Jesus Christ should be shining from us, and people should see our positivity, our encouragement, our loyalty, our activated faith. And it should cause them to want to become a part of the church. Now, please don't go out. Let people see your faults. Don't act like you're perfect. You know, I used to hate this when I was young. I despised it. And I still don't like it. But people don't do it anymore. I guess I'm too old. But I would go out, and because I was bivocational a lot of times, people would find out, oh, that you pastor a church too? You don't just work over here? I'm like, yeah, all of a sudden they got holy. You know what I mean? Oh, we go to church? Really? What church do you go to? I can't remember the name of it. And you all know where I'm going with that. You know, it's just, but we don't beat people up when they do that. But at the same time, we need to let them see the light of Jesus. And we don't, you know, my deal with that is people, when you tell them, oh, I'm a Christian, all of a sudden they're like, ooh, holy, holier than me, holier than thou. People need to see your faults. Wait a minute. You said we just need to shine. I believe that's part of the shining. It's when people see our faults and our failures, and they know that the only way that we're even alive is because of the grace of Jesus Christ. That's shining. That's shining bright. Because we all have the same problems. We're church members. We're Christians. And we have the same stuff that lost people do out in the world. The difference is we've got Jesus with us, and He promised He would never leave us. They need to see that in us. Loyal, activated, positive, shining. The last thing I'll share here is ready. Paul said, I'm willing. And look what he said. I like this, and I've thought about it a lot. In verse 17, he said, yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. If I'm being poured out as a drink offering, that was something that was biblical. It's not what we do. You know, we don't, you know, well, I've seen drunks do it, but not to God. But it's not something that we do. But what Paul is referencing there too is he is in a Roman prison. He doesn't know if he's going to live or die. And he's already said in chapter 1 and verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And he said, I'm ready to go. So he's saying here again, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. I'm eventually going to die. And there's a very good chance that they're going to come in here and they're going to kill me one morning. And if they do, I'm ready to go. And I'm pouring out my heart. That means I'm ready to serve. That if I get up tomorrow morning and they chain me to a Roman prisoner and they put me out, I'm going to share the gospel with them. And they're going to hear about Jesus. But if they get me up and they take me out, which history tells us they did, and they chopped his head off, then he literally says that if they take me out, cut my head off, I'm going to heaven and I want everything right there. So, church member that does not complain, or a job description for a Christian is one that's loyal, one that's activated, one that's positive, one that's shining, and one that's ready. Ready to die or ready to serve? I hope not, but you know, this group of people that are sitting here, something could happen to one of us between now and next Sunday. But we don't know. Are you ready? Do you know that if you died today, would you spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ? It's only because you are positioned through faith, through salvation, and through belief in Jesus Christ. That is the most important deal. But chances are, percentage is pretty high, that the majority of us will be back here next Sunday. What are you going to do between now and next Sunday to serve? You say, yeah, I'm ready to die, but what are you going to do to reach somebody? Think about the people that have ministered to you and encouraged you throughout your Christian walk. I'm telling you, I got a long journey for me, for God, it's nothing. But sometimes I can spend a day going back through and thinking of the people that have been impactful in my life. Many of them are not here anymore, but a lot of you are still young, and there's a lot of people that have impacted your life in a church where you grew up or where you were saved, or a grandmother, an uncle, or an aunt, or whoever that really encouraged you, or a coworker, one of your neighbors, or somebody that you used to work with. I want to challenge you to do something this week. Send them a note of encouragement. That's easier today than it was many years ago. Don't send them an email because they're not going to read it. All right? Call them. Send them a handwritten thank you letter in the mail if you know their address. If you don't, Judy can probably find it. Text message. It's better than nothing. Or go see them, which is even better. So if there's somebody that you want to encourage, somebody that's been a blessing to you, I want to challenge you to do that. When we get out of here, you know, there's a lot of empty seats in here this morning. If we all go out of here lifting up the praises of God and saying, I'm so thankful for my brothers and sisters at Robertsville Baptist Church. We're messed up, and we're messed up with Jesus. Amen. You know? And why don't you come hang out with us? We're not perfect. We're not going to agree on everything. We come from different walks of life and backgrounds and whatever. We got different cultures, but if we go out in the community, you don't even have to go far. Just go to your neighbors, your people you work with, you go to school with, wherever your normal walk of life is. You go out of here bragging on what God's doing at Roberts. There'll be people come. Lord, thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for the privilege we have of gathering and worshiping here in your name. Thank you for the Word of God, Lord. We absolutely love your Word. Thank you that we have the privilege coming to church, Lord. It is a gift. And thank you, Lord, that you give us that desire. Lord, there's so many other things that we could do, but Lord, you have gifted us with this. And just to come into a building that is not you and it's not your church, but it is a sacred symbol of your presence, that when we as the church come together, that we can encourage one another. We can sing praises. We can preach your word. We can hear testimonies, and we can just shake somebody's hand or smile at them and lift each other up. And Lord, thank you for that. And help us to do that in a way that gives you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we stand together and sing.